I have opened my Bible back to Psalms 23. Brother Randy and I did the service for Brother Bill Wood out at the funeral home, and I tried to use part of this psalm as my message to the people there. There is much, much, much more in here that I did not have time Friday to expound, and so I want you to pray that the Lord would bless us, that we may glean from His Word this morning, that the Lord may bless us to see the beauty of this wonderful this wonderful psalm. There's only six verses. Perhaps the most beloved psalm in all of the psalms, perhaps even the whole scripture. But I learned this psalm back when I was a kid. It was okay to pray in school, and it was okay to learn scriptures. And when I went to a little country school down south of Duncan, little school named Plato. Had four rooms in it. We had the first and second in one, third and fourth, fifth and sixth, seventh and the eighth. And each morning, the teacher would ask us who went to church. And everybody that didn't raise their hand. Everybody that did raise their hand. And I was always, sometimes the church where I went down at Marlow, we didn't have services every Sunday. And so I felt kind of bad because I didn't get to raise my hand for going to church. Well, I had several friends that was in that it was a little country school, and the church, Baptist church right there. So I started going to church with my friends on the Sundays that we didn't have services at Marlow. And one of my little friends, I'll remember him forever, I guess, he's always wanting me to, when they gave the invitation, he's always wanting me to go and accept Christ. And I told him that I'd already accepted Christ. He said, "Well, are you sure that you're saved?" And I said, "Well, I have a great hope in Christ." Well, every Sunday he'd say, "Brother," he said, "you need to go forward. You need to go forward." Well, finally one day, just to get him off my back, I went forward and I got saved. And from then on, he never bothered me anymore about it. But my point is this, that during those times of my growing up, we were very poor. There was eight children in our family, and my dad was a farmer. But there's always a time when I always look back at the Psalms 23. I memorized this psalm when I was about 7 or 8 years old. And this psalm is the comfort of a lot of soldiers in their foxholes. It's comfort to those who are in death, going through the problems of death. We sang that song this morning. I want to just read some of the words of that number 437. Notice it says the 23rd Psalm. It says, "The Lord my precious shepherd is. I am his little sheep. He leads me to his pastures green beside the waters deep. In righteous path he leads me, lest I should go astray. Restores my soul and makes me glad. I praise him day by day. Through the shades of death I walk, the valley dark and drear. His rod and staff, they comfort me, for he is always near. My head with oil did thus anoint, my cup runneth with joy. The feast my Lord prepares for me, my foes cannot destroy. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. Their joys I cannot tell. They comfort me and give me hope that in his house I'll dwell. I want to praise him while I live because he loved me so. And rising to the glory world, a perfect praise I'll know." We cannot praise God in the way that we And that song, the last song we sang, that one day we'll praise Him as we ought. We're cumbered about with all kinds of troubles and trials, but without the Lord, we'd be in despair. You know, hope, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Hope is looking forward to something better. And those that do not have hope are in despair. So this psalm is a psalm of hope. It's a psalm of joy. It's a psalm of comfort. So if you have your scriptures with me, I'm going to read the psalm, and then I'll go back and I want to point out some things that I thought about as I was trying to study this in preparation for the message for Brother Bill's family. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, as we look at this psalm, first of all, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I want us to notice, As we went through this song, if you have your little highlighter or however you do this, I want you to take note of the personal pronouns that's in this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You see the personal aspects of this psalm? This is the Lord speaking to us as the shepherd. He says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over with joy. I mean, runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. You see, this is a personal thing. And I want us to see that the word Lord there is the word Jehovah, as I've pointed out to you several different times. The word Jehovah in that text, it means the self-existing eternal I am. It is the never, He is always present and nowhere absent. And as Brother Jim prayed, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never lost any power. He's never got any older, but He is the same as He was the day that He inspired David to write. David was a shepherd, you know. In order for a person to be able to understand what a shepherd is, you need to be able to understand sheep. Sheep are very timid. They're very they don't know that without a shepherd to lead them, they will go off fall into all kinds of troubles. And that's why it says, the Lord leads me. We need a shepherd to lead us, to protect us. A shepherd is one who knows all about the sheep. And when we look at this from the word, from the standpoint of the word shepherd, many places, you know, when Jacob and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and they ask, well, what is your occupation? And Jacob said, we and our fathers are shepherds. They were, and remember when the Lord came, in His very first, when He came into the world, who did He come to? He came, He said, there were shepherds abiding in their fields by night. He didn't go over there to the great Sanhedrin court. He didn't go to all of the Pharisaical Jews, but He went to the lowly shepherds. And He said, this day is born unto you a Savior, which is Jesus the Lord. And they said, let us go and see that which is spoken of. And they go and they go to the place where that Jesus was. He said, this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And they went and they worshiped. So when we look at the word shepherd, it is a beautiful relationship when we can see that the shepherd and the sheep are so connected. A shepherd knows all about his sheep. In the New Testament, we find that Jesus, we know who the shepherd is, don't we? We know that the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. All of these aspects are all of these characteristics and these names are given to the Lord Jesus Christ throughout his. Now notice it says in verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. When you know the characteristic of sheep, they won't lay down. They won't lay down if they're hungry. They won't lay down if there is any predators around. They won't lay down if they won't drink out of a water that's running. Have you ever been to a river where you can just actually hear the water running and it's so swift? Sheep are so timid, they will not drink out of that water. So the great shepherd that's under consideration here, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And it's one thing to be able to memorize this psalm. It's great. All the words in it are comforting. But it's one thing to be able to know the word of the song, but it's even greater when we understand the meaning of the song. The Lord, when he says he makes me to lie down in green pastures, that means that when you think about a sheep laying down in a pasture, a green pasture, that means he is totally at peace. He's not hungry. He's not looking, and he's been fed sufficiently, and he's laying down and perhaps sleeping. And when you think about the river, he leads me beside the still waters. When you think about this green pasture in your mind, you can think about this beautiful green pasture and this little beautiful little stream running down through the middle of it. It brings to our minds peace and tranquility. This is what the Lord does for his sheep. He gives them peace. He takes away the anxieties. Brother Randy talked about the anxieties that we have in life. But when we can look to our Lord and we can understand that he is our shepherd, he knows everything about us. He knows all that we need. And that's why it says that he restores my soul. The word soul in this particular sense is that inner person. That person that is inside of you that cries out for help. When we are in trouble, we look to the Lord and the greatest prayer in the Bible, by the way, is Lord, help. But when we can think about he restores my soul, sometimes we're cast down. Sometimes we're in despair. Sometimes we just don't know where to go. There may be something that has happened in our life and we just lose sight of the Lord. But when we look to the Lord and we say, Lord, have mercy upon me. And it says, he restores the soul. That means he brings it back. He revives it. He gives it joy and peace again. So and notice it says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is not for our sake. That when we talk about he leads us in paths of righteousness. The path of righteousness is that way that he teaches us that we should follow in his path. He said, Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. There is a way that, and the Lord said, by the way, he said, I am the way. We must follow in his way, not in our way. You know, there's an old song back in, and I copied it. I kind of copied it down. I thought I'd read it the other day, but how many of us heard of old Blue Eyes? Who's Blue Eyes? Y'all know who Blue Eyes is? But it says, I did it my way. I did it my way. He did it my way. And now the end is near. This is, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway. And more and more and more than this, I did it my way. But when we do it our way, when we follow after our way, we always find ourselves, and there's a lot more to that old song. I don't want to read that, but the point is, we need to do it the Lord's way. We sing the song, Thy way, not mine, O Lord. Thy way, O Lord, let it be. And it says that He leads us. He will not lead us in a path away from Him. He leads us in paths of righteousness. He leads us in paths that will lead to peace and joy and comfort. Now, I've thought about, I think this may be Sister Sue's favorite psalm. Let's read part of Psalms 27, Sister Sue. We've read this before together. But notice, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? This is the point. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. How is it that we can walk through these deep valleys of despair and darkness and not fear? Well, the answer is Jesus is with us. He's with us. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the strength of my life. If the Lord is the strength of my life and He's my shepherd and He's always watching after me and He knows every place I go, how can I be afraid? Jim, He's our strength. He's our light. We have no light. We have no strength without Him. But, and it says, when the wicked, even mine enemies, and notice this psalm, it says, He prepares for me a table in the presence of mine enemies. You understand that the enemy is all around us. There are people in this world, and I thought about this as we thought about that terrible thing, that terrible tragedy, that it was nothing but pure evil, that when this evil person went into this place of worship down in Texas and began to shoot people. That's all it is evil. They're all around us. And there are people that hate you just because you love Jesus. And so when we look at this from the, how can we find peace in the midst of such evil? Well, the Lord prepares for us a table in the very camp of the enemy. And that's why He says He prepares for me, before me in the presence of mine enemies. And that's what this psalm says. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes came upon me to eat me up. They stumbled and they fell. When the enemy comes, if the Lord's with you, you remember the story about Job? God, it says that the Lord was there and Satan came along and He says, have you considered my servant Job? He said, oh yeah, I considered him, but you have a hedge around him. And I can't get to him. There's a psalm in Psalms 34. It says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. That He has a protective covering over us. What has preserved us to this day? It's our shepherd. Notice it says, though an host should encampass against me, though a host encampass against me, my heart shall not fear. You know, it takes great courage. And by the way, this shepherd that's under consideration here, we didn't choose him. We didn't choose the shepherd. Does a sheep get to choose the shepherd? We didn't choose the shepherd. The shepherd chose us. And He loves us. He is our shepherd. And it says, though a great host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. Confidence. Can we be confident? Can we have strength in the midst of such evil? What a joy it is for us to be able to come to the house of God and to sit down in this place of comfort. Do we take this for granted? You notice, and it says one thing. Now notice this, Sister Sue, this is verse 4 of your psalm, okay? One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after. One thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. All, he said, this one thing, the most important thing to me is to be able to dwell in the house of the Lord and to behold His beauty. Where is it that we can find these still waters? Where is it that we can find food for our souls? You know, we don't have a whole lot of trouble feeding our bodies, but sometimes we let our souls go hungry. The soul is that inner man. It needs food. It needs to be fed, not with the things of the world, but it needs to be fed with the Word of God. It needs to be fed with the comfort of God's holy Word. The Word of God is, he said in another psalm, he says, the Word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Now notice this is verse 5 of Psalm 27. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me, listen, in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion in the secret of His tabernacle. He shall hide me and He shall set me upon a rock. He shall set me upon a rock. What is that rock? It's the rock, there's many, many names for the Lord. He said he's called the shepherd, He's called the priest, He's called the king. All of these things, all of these different things describe various aspects, various things about our Lord that are for us. But He said He shall set us upon a rock. That rock is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And how shall mine head, and now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies? When we've seen Him, and when we're trusting Him in the midst of all of the troubles that there is around us, there, he said, in the house of God will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto my Lord. When you think about the beauty of these beautiful words, but He says, thou preparest a table in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. You know, David was anointed as the king. Samuel anointed him as the king. But when we're talking about oil in this specific sense, we're talking about the Lord anoints our head with the presence of His Holy Spirit. Thou anointest my head, my cup runneth over. Has your cup ever run over? Do you ever get so full of joy and so strengthened by the Lord and just so overwhelmed with thankfulness and gratitude? You ever think, just go to the Lord and just say, Lord, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for every good thing that You've given me. Every good and perfect gift that You've given me, it comes down from You. It comes down from the Father of lights, in Him who is no variableness. You know, He has no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift. There's a lot of good gifts. The Lord gave me a good gift 56 years ago. But He gives us perfect gifts. What is the most perfect? I mean, when you think about the Holy Spirit being in our heart, there is love and joy and peace and goodness. All of these things that the Lord gives us because He has given us to us eternal life. He gives us that. And I thought about, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, death is everywhere. I don't know how many of you get the newspaper. Just open it up to the section of obituaries. There's hundreds of them in there. Death is everywhere. Death is just as much a part of life as living is. This is one thing when we looked at the casket of our dear brother Bill. We need to understand that he's not in that casket anymore. He's not in that tabernacle. He is with the Lord. And if we really believe the concept of what God has taught us in the gospel, that He came at the appointed time of the Father and He gave His life for our sins. I think of the place over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'll turn there just very quickly. He said, Behold, I show you a mystery. He didn't say I'm going to explain it to you, but I'm going to show you a great mystery. A mystery, especially in the scriptures, a mystery is only a mystery if you don't understand the meaning. Well, he gives us the understanding. He said, I want to show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means we shall not all go to the grave. We shall not all die. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. This is the great blessing of comfort of Job. He said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. He was looking for a change that would take place in his body. And brethren, the longer we're in this old tabernacle, the longer we're in this old world, the greater and more beautiful it is when we can think about the greatness of where Brother Bill and all of those that's gone before us, they are so happy. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I have a desire to go be with God, which is far better. But he says, for your sake, I'm going to remain. And this is my point. The greatest joy that I have in this life is to stand before God's people and proclaim His goodness. But notice he says, when is this? He said, we shall not all be changed, but in a moment and the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trump shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. We're not going to be exchanged. Jesus said when he comes, he said, I am going to come back for you. If I come for you, I'll take you where I am. There you may be. Also, he said, I go away. And if I go away, I'm going to come back and get you. You need to understand that the very same one, the person that's in these bodies. These bodies are tabernacles. They're really made out of dirt. when you think about everything about us is made out of every element in this dirt out here is in our bodies. We are tabernacles of clay, temporary buildings, if you please. And the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. And when God calls, Job said, when he calls, I'll answer. And when God calls, but why should we fear death? Why? I mean, to be absent from this body is to be in the very presence of our Savior. And it says, in a moment, twinkling of eye, he said, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We put those in the body. We put those bodies in the ground as corruptible, mortal bodies. But when they come out, they're going to come out immortal, changed and fashioned like unto the glorious body of our precious Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, we shall all sleep. What does he mean? Well, there's going to come a time when Jesus comes back. When he comes, there's going to be some of us left here. And he said, I would not have you ignorant concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. But we have hope. We have the great joy of our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he shed his blood for me. He is my shepherd. He is my Lord. And that's why we need to continue. And when you just, when you get into the, into these sad points and you think about death. He said, for as much as the children are flesh and blood, he likewise became part of the same, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Death is a release for God's people. For this corruptible must put on, oh, I'm just listening to that. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal shall or must put on immortality. You know what the word mortal means? It means subject to dying. You're mortal. But there's a, and thanks be to God, he's immortal. He has, there is no death in him. And when we come, when the Lord comes back, to bring us all home with him, you know, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Christ is risen from the dead and he's at God's right hand and he's waiting for the time comes when he shall come back again. Now notice it says, so, and he says, this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that written, that is written. Where's it written? We could go over to the book of Isaiah and find out this almost word for word. He said, this mortal must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? What's, I mean, O grave, where is your victory? When Jesus went to the, I mean, yes, he went to the grave. That's not, I mean, when he went in, he took our sins with him. Our sins was laid upon him. He took in his body on the tree of the cross. They were laid upon him. And when he went into that grave, he took our sins. But when he come out, they were left in the grave. We have no sin. And if there is no sin, there is no death. The wages of sin is death. But if Jesus took death, then he took away, he fulfilled the law. What is sin? It's a transgression of the law. Oh, what if Jesus fulfilled the law in our place? Did he? Then there is no death for all of God's children. There is no death for you. You're not going to die. Well, your bodies may go to the ground, but that person that's inside of you is going to fly away and be at rest. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory in Jesus. You know, when we think about these beautiful, the valley of the shadow of death, it's hanging around. But you see, we're not going to live in it. It's a valley. We're just going to pass through it. We're only going to pass through this. And it's, and when you think about the mountains and we sang the song about on the mountain tops appearing. We like to be on the mountains. It seems like a lot safer on the mountains. We can look and we can see things around. But when we're walking through the valley, there is enemies lurking in all the dark places. But the Lord knows all those places. He says, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You fear evil? Naturally, we do. That's why these brethren have little things stuck in their boots. I'm glad. But you know, the greatest protection we have is to pray to God and trust Him. We come to church, they may be. I mean, I just feel like that those people down there, my heart just goes out to all of them. But I'm thankful to God that there were some men in there that had protection. That evil person was put down. Enemies all around. But we don't need to fear them. Because God. Now, and that's why he said, I will fear no evil. Why? Why? How can you say that, brother? How can you say we fear no evil? Well, it says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff, I believe, in this context, is the Word of God. The Word of God is our comfort. It is the thorough furnisher for all of us. There is an answer to every single problem. No matter what your problem is. If you're having trouble in your marriage, the answer is in here. If you're having trouble at your work, the answer is in here. If you're having troubles with, are your friends forsaking you? Are they saying things about you? The answer is in here. That last verse. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now we could turn over to John 10 and read there about the good shepherd. David was a shepherd, wasn't he? He knew what it meant. And we told the story, Brother B, about David and Goliath, remember? David goes back and he looks back on a time of his past deliverance. I want you to think about, has the Lord ever delivered you in a time of trouble? Has the Lord ever delivered you from an evil situation? Has the Lord ever delivered you out of a terrible pit? He has me. And David looks back on the time he said, and when he comes there, there is all of God's army all around. And there is this great big old 9-10 foot man. And they're trembling, so afraid. And David said, is there not a cause? He said, I'll go. He said, you can't go. You can't go. You're just a little lad. He said, I remember there was a time that there was a lion went and he took one of my little sheep. And he was about to devour that little sheep. And I went and I took that lion by the beard and I slew that lion and I took that little sheep out of his mouth. There was another time, he says, I came and there was a bear that was after one of my little sheep. And I went and I took that little sheep out of the paw of that bear. And he says, the God that delivered me out of the mouth of that lion and the paw of that bear, he will deliver me from this Philistine. Do you have any giants in your life? Do you have any things in your life that you seem like you just can't seem to bear? Well, the Lord is a giant slayer. David didn't do that. Yes, David was the one that took the sling and kill the giant. But it was the Lord. And that's why he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He gives me strength from day to day. So he says, surely, goodness and mercy. You know, mercy is a wonderful, wonderful thought. Mercy means that we're not going to get what we deserve. Would you like to have some justice? I mean, there are people who say, Lord, just give me what, I mean, I want what I got coming to me. Well, don't say that too loud because you might get it. But I don't want mercy. I don't want justice. I want mercy. I want the Lord. And this, this is the prayer of the sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. When you pray that prayer, brothers and sisters, He will restore your soul. He promised He would. He said, if you confess your sins, He's just to forgive us all of our sins in the blood of Jesus. It is a continual cleansing. So He says, surely, absolutely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is what David said in Psalms 27, this one thing I would like to seek after more than any other thing. He says, seek, and what? You find. Knock, and it'll be open to you. He that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh, it shall be open. And he says, the things that we're to seek above all things in this world, he said, seek ye first. Number one, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. May the Lord bless you this morning is our prayer. I hope you will take Psalms 23 and Psalms 27. If you'll just take, there is so much beauty, so much comfort in every aspect of our life. God, who is our shepherd, will hear us and He will deliver us. May the Lord bless you is our prayer this morning.